as we do every single Wednesday. Beyond thrilled to bring on a very good friend. We've been talking to this guy for years and years at this point. None other than Joe Bartle from RotoWire at JB Fantasy Sports on Twitter. He's asked for some intro music as he's very thrilled about the ticket that was punched last night to the National League Championship Series. Mr. Bartle now joins us on the program. Hi, Joe.
Hey, guys. I was hoping we'd get this out of the way early.
So. We had to tomahawk chop your way into this thing, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm disappointed. I mean, last time we talked, I said anyone but the Dodgers, and I still believe in that. So
there you go.
Technically, I'm rooting for the Braves, but I discovered that I have some friends who are Braves fans, and I'm not very much fans of them. So I feel a little bit more frustrated than I would have been a week ago. And obviously, you know, I think I blame it more on Milwaukee than anything else. I hope that the Braves can be able to be competitive against the Dodgers if they were to win Game 5 against the Giants.
Cause right.
Nobody wants to see that. Like that's again, anyone but the Dodgers is all I care about. Obviously, it would have been great if it had been the Brewers, but I hope Atlanta can do what they did from a pitching perspective against LA.
That was the biggest thing. Obviously, last year the Braves had that 3-1 series lead over the Dodgers in the National League Championship Series, but then choked, as Atlanta sports tend to, and the Dodgers find themselves winning the World Series. But you look at that series, Joe, and the runners in scoring position for Milwaukee was one of the bigger stories, and I thought Craig Counsell said it pretty well last night. Josh Hader versus Freddie Freeman, best on best. Freddie got the edge this time, and the Braves are finding themselves winning the series.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I think Hader is developing into a guy that struggles in the postseason. For as great as he has with all the regular season accomplishments, that's now, what, two or three postseasons that he has given up a critical run. I think back to the Dodgers series 3 years ago, 2 years ago, where they were a game away from getting to the World Series, and Hader once again blew it, too. I don't know. It's frustrating because he's an organization, and this applies to Atlanta, too. Milwaukee likely isn't going to be going out and getting a ton of these free agents or any big-name bats. You more or less have to manufacture runs with the different roster moves, and Willie Adames and things like that. Well, great additions. I think Rowdy Tellez as well, too. You know, fantastic moves, but they're smaller moves, and that's exactly what Milwaukee has to do. So when you have this pitching staff and really a bullpen, and I don't blame this on Devin Williams as much as some other Milwaukee Braves or Milwaukee Brewers fans might. But when you have that pitching staff and you have a bullpen as like the Brewers do, you were hoping that things would be better than this, and you know, scoring four or five runs total in the series just won't get it done. So it's frustrating to see. You talk about the Braves choking, or I'm sorry, Atlanta sports choking. Wisconsin's pretty good at that too. If not for the Bucks, we would be easily able to complain and kind of fight you on who chokes more. And I think this was a series where the Brewers really did not give it as much competitive effort as the Braves might have.
Yeah. All right, Joe, let's dive into some NFL talk here. That's what we bring you on here to talk every week. Some fantasy football, NFL in general. My question for you, what is wrong with the Kansas City Chiefs right now? And then from a fantasy perspective, Kelce is questionable. Edwards-Helaire is questionable. Tyreek Hill is questionable. And what are your thoughts on the Chiefs and for fantasy owners that have kind of loaded up on some of these Chiefs players?
Yeah. So first off, Edwards-Helaire is placed, I think, on injured reserve yesterday. So he's done for at least a minimum of 3 weeks. I only mention that because this is a pretty critical free agent pickup. And I play in 15 leagues. We talked about this earlier. I feel like I got Darrell Williams in maybe 7, 8, 9 of them. And he was more or less waiver wire to claim a little bit afterwards. I think Darrell Williams is as much, if not more, valuable than Devontae Booker, who is the top pickup this week with Saquon Barkley likely out, mainly because Darrell Williams is going to be getting, I think, 3-down workload for that Chiefs offense and will be getting at least a minimum of 3 weeks as the starter. I know Jerick McKinnon is around, and McKinnon might be an explosive asset too if you're in deeper leagues, but I really like Darrell Williams as a pickup. On to your question on trouble with the Chiefs offense. I mean, it's turnovers. That's what everyone's talking about, rightfully so. Mahomes has mentioned that as well, too. And I think there's a greater concern with the fact that you can actually take away the parts of the Chiefs offense that's been so dynamic. You put cover two out there. Tyreek Hill can't go deep. You have Travis Kelce in the middle of the field in your final, more or less letting him beat you, knowing that he just can't catch 16 to 18 passes a game and the Chiefs be able to win. And then everything else is fine after that. They really don't have any other weapons. And I think this is the first time people are really seeing this offense without Sammy Watkins. And I would not have guessed, as somebody that follows football as closely as I do, that Watkins would be as integral to the Chiefs offense as it has been. I don't think it's a matter of teams figuring it out. This isn't like the Patriots and Rams Super Bowl where Belichick just literally knew what to do against Sean McVay. I think this is more of the Chiefs are lacking weapons, and I don't believe they have him on the roster. I know some people want to point to Josh Gordon. I don't think he's the guy. If there was a team to make a trade for a wide receiver, whether it be big or small, I really believe it's Kansas City that should be looking to make that move. And this is coming from somebody who likes Mecole Hardman as well. He just has not developed the way you would have anticipated with Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce all around him. I think their biggest issue is they just lack guys who can be difference makers on offense.
Joe, looking at a guy that we've been waiting to have a breakout game, he finally did last week. Kyle Pitts caught his first NFL touchdown, went over 100 yards for the first time in a game. Do you think this is more of a flash in the pan for Kyle Pitts, or is this something he can do consistently?
You know, it's funny. We had had this conversation. I had done a couple of different shows on SiriusXM Radio from 11 to 1, well, I guess 12 to 2 Eastern time last week. And it was kind of once we had found out the news with Calvin Ridley and Russell Gage both out, not traveling to London, I had a clip, and it's on my Twitter, saying, if Kyle Pitts can't go off this week, he will not go off. And not that you, like, he won't be good this season. Not that you're going to drop Kyle Pitts, but he was going to be in that quagmire of tight ends 8 through 14 that you just could never consistently rely on. It was awesome to see him do well, and as somebody who has a few Kyle Pitts shares, even Dynasty Leagues as well, I was really happy to see. I'm not sure I'm anticipating that happens consistently because, again, I anticipate Calvin Ridley and Russell Gage will be healthy for that Falcons offense. I would imagine that by the end of the year, the Falcons more or less will be force-feeding Kyle Pitts opportunities, A, because he should have developed a little bit more by this point. Right? He's a rookie, and as much as we think he is an extraordinary talent, and I really do, rookie tight ends tend to struggle. But also, B, there's not much incentive for the Falcons this year, and we knew early on that was going to be the case, for them to really do, you know, a lot from a playoff perspective. I think it's really about developing your young talent. I'm disappointed to see this Arthur Smith offense not utilize Pitts more, but as the number one target, which he more or less was with Ridley and Gage out, it was encouraging to see it. I just don't know when those guys are back, if that will still be the case, because we haven't seen it early on.
And Joe, a guy that's been really disappointing in fantasy football this year is Saquon Barkley, and he's gone down now with an apparent ankle injury, and he's going to be out a couple of weeks now. So what are some viable backup options since Saquon's going to be out now?
Yeah, it's funny. You say he's been a disappointment. I've actually had conversations with many people who are like, Saquon Barkley, top five fantasy running back this year. And I think they're more or less speaking on behalf of PPR leagues, whereas Barkley's getting 5-6 starts a game where he was. So he had some value there. I was kind of leaning more your direction. I thought it was a late first round, early second round pick. I was happy to have avoided him. Now it looks like he's going to miss at least a week, if not more. I had mentioned already at the top of the broadcast, Darrell Williams, running back for the Chiefs. He's my top running back pickup this week with Clyde Edwards-Helaire now in injured reserve. I anticipate Williams getting 3-down workload. Now, that could be very simply 8 carries, 4 catches, something like that, like a small 3-down workload, given what the Chiefs' offense has been looking like through the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. However, that still has value because it is the Chiefs' offense led by Patrick Mahomes and guys like Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Most teams will not be equipped to stop them the way we've seen them thus far through the early portion of the season. So Darrell Williams, my clear guy. Devontae Booker was a lot of people's top pickup this week, and I get it. The only issue is going against the Rams this week, and you're also likely missing possibly Daniel Jones, possibly Ken Galladay, Sterling Shepard missing time as well, too. Kadarius Toney, who's looked great the first 2 weeks, or the last week, should say, he might be injured as well, too. I mean, that could be a team that literally is trotting out third or fourth string guys at every offensive skill position. No matter the workload Booker is getting, I don't see that being successful. You're not jacked about starting Mark Ingram or Philip Lindsay, and I think that's the same type of scenario that could occur with Devontae Booker. So Darrell Williams, Devontae Booker, fine. I would normally say Kenny Gainwell, I push him quite a bit. They're going at the Buccaneers this week. That makes me a little bit more concerned. Here's one real sleeper name that if you're in deeper formats, I could see. Brandon Bolden, the running back for the Patriots. You have Damien Harris struggling in, I think, his second fumble in the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. Mondre Stevenson doing fine enough. But I think if the Patriots are to pass the ball, Brandon Bolden assumes some of that James White workload, and he got the majority of the carries this past week, although it was a small margin. I like Brandon Bolden as a really deep sleeper if you really need to fill either the injury concerns of Saquon Barkley and others, or bye weeks like Alvin Kamara.
We're talking some fantasy football with Joe Bartle from RotoWire. And Joe, obviously the biggest story going on right now in the NFL is with John Gruden and that whole situation. He's now out as the Raiders head coach. From a fantasy perspective, and I know it kind of seems like a silly question, but I mean, if you have guys on your fantasy team from the Raiders that you have been relying on to get points, are you scared with the controversy that maybe that point production is not going to be as great? Is that team going to start slipping? I mean, how do you view this John Gruden thing and how it affects the fantasy market?
Yeah, Urban Meyer is saying his Hail Marys, whatever strip club he's at right now. I'm sorry.
As long as he doesn't have any emails about it, I guess.
Yeah, Urban's really jacked about this John Gruden story. I actually think it is kind of relevant now. The only answer is I have to cop out and say, I don't know. To me, this would affect the chemistry of the Raiders, too. We've had Carl Nassib as well make some comments and having to take some personal days away from the team. I think that's going to be a really weird situation, and I am a little bit pessimistic. I think guys like Hunter Renfro, who are already PPR monsters underneath targets, and Darren Waller, my gosh, couldn't get that out. Darren Waller has got kind of the automatic part. There are guys I still feel confident starting, but Brian Edwards, you know, I have him in a lot of rosters. I might even consider dropping him at this point. Henry Rux is always a deep play threat, but I think that's going to look a little bit different with whatever this offense is, Sam's Gruden. And then Josh Jacobs, Kenny Drake, Peyton Barber. Man, none of those guys really intriguing to me at all. I think this is a really weird situation, and it stinks because Derek Carr for the first 3 or 4 weeks was kind of an MVP favorite, if not a passing leader one as well, too. And I just don't know from a chemistry perspective, from a morale perspective, and how the offense will look philosophically. It'll be really interesting to see. And I wish I had more answers other than I'm going to be really intrigued this week to see what happens.
Tampa Bay and Philly tomorrow night for Thursday Night Football. Who should folks start in that one, Joe?
Yeah, I think you're going to get a lot of the Buccaneers. I've been, unfortunately, on the wrong end of guess when Antonio Brown's been going to go off. So I think at this point, he is a must play in your lineups, if for no other reason than to stop looking at the 25-point bombs that he leaves. Again, me, that's been doing that. I think Chris Godwin, Mike Evans are going to be fine enough, too. I've been hoping there'd be a Rojo sighting at some point, but right now it's Leonard Fournette as the starter. And I mentioned all these Buccaneers guys because I'm a little bit worried about what the Eagles are going to do. I think you can play Jalen Hurts as a lower end quarterback one. And a lot of people are getting by with streaming quarterback options the first 3 weeks. You're looking at the schedule and with the bye weeks, I'm not sure there are many better alternatives out there. And then, you know, Devontae Smith has been good enough, and you know, the Buccaneer secondary is pretty beat up. So, this is a start for me, too, as a wide receiver 2 or 3. The one intriguing part, and this is actually a really, really relevant situation, Dallas Goedert has a COVID placement right now, would open the door for Zach Ertz to assume the majority of the tight end opportunities. And if you are believing that the Buccaneers are going to cover that spread or get close to it, again, it's 7 points favoring the Buccaneers at Philadelphia and a 52.5 over-under. I think Zach Ertz is looking at 6 to 8 targets minimum if Goddard's not able to play. And that is easily enough to make you a tight end 6, 7, 8 range right now with the quandary that position seems to be. I think Zach Ertz, who's probably available in 80% of leagues right now, is a pickup and start this week if Goddard's out.
What NFL game are you most looking forward to this weekend?
Yeah, there's a couple. You know, like the Chargers-Ravens, I think I'm really intrigued. I cover the Chargers here at RotoWire, so I've been pleasantly surprised to not have to write about all these losses the kickers end up giving up for the Chargers. That's been fun to do. The emergence of Mike Williams now as a bona fide star, I think, in fantasy is the great, and Justin Herbert looks excellent as well. And then the flip side, can Lamar Jackson continue to be the passing quarterback that I knew he could be, but most didn't? And Marquise Brown, Mark Andrews, too. I like that a lot. And from a fantasy perspective, that matchup will be really interesting overall. And then I think we talked about it a little bit earlier, I'm kind of interested in the Raiders-Broncos. I think Melvin Gordon, Javonte Williams have an opportunity to do low-end running back 2 flex plays on both parts. And then can it be Cortland Sutton again that dominates? Can Noah Fant get involved? And what do the Raiders look like now with John Gruden out? Those are two games that I think might be a little bit under the radar. Everyone's going to talk about the Seahawks, Steelers, Bills, Titans. You know, both those are going to be really good games. But I like Raiders-Broncos, and I really want to see what the Chargers-Ravens can be too.
Practice that tomahawk chop. Enjoy the Atlanta Braves over this upcoming weekend in football as well. Joe, you're the absolute best, and we always appreciate our Wednesday phone calls.
Yeah, I'll be a little bit angsty about the Braves, but as long as the Dodgers lose, that is all I care about.
You're the best. We'll talk next week, okay?
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that's our buddy Joe Bartle from RotoWire joining us.